Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the city of Orlando, Florida. City of sunshine, palm trees blowing in the wind. Wish you were here. Oh, what a beautiful hot day it is. We thank God for you and you being with us again today. We want to send you lots of love and hugs. Greetings from us here, the City of Victory, Logan International Ministries. We want to thank God for you, and you. And those of you that listen continually, we thank you. We appreciate you. You can give us a call at 347-857-3925. Give us a call and let us know just how you appreciate it. Or what, if you don't appreciate it, you know, praise God for your opinion, you know. Amen, amen, amen. And it's a beautiful day just to love everybody and to love you, let you know that we are praying for you and trust that you're praying for us also. We need to do what? Pray for one another. This is what we need to do in times. Everybody need help. Do you get it? They're going through so many problems, you know, and the enemy don't have any respect of persons. He will hit, don't care who you are, what your title is. He's going to wreak havoc in your lives in some way. May not through you, but through somebody related or close to you. So therefore, we need to pray one for another, lift one another up, because, listen, I need you. He's over here trying to hit on me. And you need me, and I'm trying to pray with you and help you, because the devil is trying to hit on you too and your family. Finances, he's just a mean devil. You know what I'm saying? The devil is a mean devil. But we thank God for you that are listening, especially those in different nations and other lands. We thank God over in the Caribbean, those that are listening. We thank God for you too. All right. Now today, yes, we are praying today. We're still praying. We don't know his condition at this point. Dale Christian over in St. Thomas, we don't know his condition, was hit by a car. But anyway, we're sending the word of God to him, that God will touch him, deliver him, make him every whit whole in body, mind, soul, and spirit. To make him every whit whole right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we send the word to Janet Peterson, who's going on dialysis. Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to touch Janet right now in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we ask you to touch Kenneth Phillips. Kenneth Phillips needs healing in his body. We ask you, Father, to touch him right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, continue to touch Pastor Mosley there in Jacksonville, that she will recover from the stroke. Complete recovery. We are praying for right now. We send the word to her right now. We also pray for Barbara Tenney there in Sorrento, that God, you would see about her today. Touch her from the slight stroke that she had, Father. Touch her. Give her a full recovery, Father. In Jesus' name, touch her heart also, Father. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it, Father. We ask you, Lord, to touch Cheryl Singh, Lord, there in Tamarack. Father, touch her right now. Sunrise, Tamarack, whichever one of them she live in. Father, touch her right now in Jesus' name. Make every whit whole, Lord God. Let her know right now that you're with her, and we'll take care of all of that in Jesus' name. Touch Crystal's mom who had surgery, Lord. Let her have a full recovery, Father. Touch baby Journey who had surgery also. Let her have a full recovery, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, and we thank you for it today. And, Father, I heard that Cynthia had a problem. I don't know exactly what problem. I wasn't told direct. So we pray for her today, God, that you touch her, the elder, Lord. She's praying for others, God. Now, see, this is what I'm saying. The devil don't care who he hits. You see? So that's why we got to pray one for the other. Do you get the picture? I hope you all do. Praise God. You are not exempt from the devil's hit list. Okay? Know that today. And we're sending prayers to her too today. We're sending prayers to, bless God, y'all. Pray for my throat. He keep coming up. We're praying for Denise Lopez. Somewhere you pronounce that in Jesus' name also today. In the name of Jesus. And we also keep Miriam Christian in prayer too today, that Lord will continue to touch her body and make a way out of nowhere for her also, God. We pray for the Magnanises, Lord, Dr. Magnanis and Pastor Magnanis. We pray for them, God. Keep them in your prayers also, Lord. You know, God, all your pastors that are going through. Oh, excuse me. God, there's so many that's going through. It's, you know, it's just mind-boggling of the different things that the pastors are going through. But we know these are those times. These are trying times. And the people, we need to pray for one another like never before. Remember them, pray for them. God, bring them to mind, pray for them. Even some of them that are acting ugly, we praying for them too, that God will touch them. And let us come together as one and pray ye one for another. See, that one means a lot, you know. It means a whole lot. Pray ye one for another, you know, fellowship with one another. You know, God wants us together. Get it together and help ye one another. You know, you can't do it alone. Oh, I don't even want to try to do it alone. Oh, my God. I know I need somebody. Praise God. I'm going through right now. Amen. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. In the body, it's always a challenge, you know. Bless God. The enemy don't care how he do it either. No. So it's just one of these things that we got to pray. That's all. Now let me give you another word. Maybe this will help a little bit too. Take time to reflect on the people and things around you. It is in these quiet moments that inspiration grows and we recognize God's wonderful grace. Shall we say that again? Take time to reflect on the people and things around you. It is in these quiet moments that inspiration grows and we recognize God's wonderful grace. It's time to recognize, you know what I mean? It is time to recognize God's grace. That's all I can tell you today. If you don't hear nothing else, it's time to recognize God's grace. And we do thank God for our engineer here with us today. Bless God. She's been working hard these last several weeks, helping us in these moves, and it's been a strain, a very big strain on us. You hear it in our voice, I know. And it's going to take some time to get settled and get over this, you know, because we didn't have any manpower to help us, so it was pretty heavy. And I have to give her credit. I like to give credit where credit is due. She went beyond duty. She went above beyond. Her and Bishop went around above and beyond duty. Yes, they did in helping and, of course, the pastors, they helped us too, what they could, because they had a little challenge in their life also at the time. So, you know, don't worry, we ain't worrying about it, we ain't complaining, but we just thanking God for those that did, because it was a heavy strain on us. And me, it was just a burden to have it lifted at a certain time. We was on a time frame, you see, and that what was getting us, holding us real bad, you know. So we still praying for people. We still, you know, hey, that's the way it goes sometimes, you know. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't, but you make it through, because, you know, it's no time to let down today. You do what you got to do with who you got to do it with. You see, so God takes us through. Yes, he does. He takes us through everything. You, when you go through challenge, he takes you through, don't he? Huh? You know, we don't always know what we're going through at all the time. We don't know if this is a thing that's happening in our life and I got to go through this. Do I have help or do I not have help? You know, you don't get mad because you ain't got no help, you know. Like that, you just say, oh, Lord, praise God, help me, Lord. I need your help and your strength. See, you have to rely on his strength, not yours and what somebody else, but his strength, God's strength. You know, because everything is for a reason and a purpose. If it's nothing else, but it helps you understand people better. It helps you grow, too, you know. Everything is for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for learning that, understanding that you ain't nobody mad but the devil. And if you want to get mad with him, you is the devil. Mm-hmm. You'll be the devil, praise God. But we don't have to worry. We ain't worried. We ain't worried. We made it. Oh, you can make it if you try. Yes, yes, yes. Remember that? You can make it if you try. Now, you know, praise God, after all of that, we thank God for our friends over there in St. Thomas. We thank God for them. Amen. And especially Nessie Ritter, we thank God for her. Amen. Encouraging us, we thank God for it. Now, you can do the same, or you can just keep it to yourself, whichever way you want to do, you can do it. But it is just good for somebody to encourage, you know, make you want to keep on keeping on, you know. And let me tell you, why you get upset when if somebody do something and the person, the pastor or whoever, encourage that person to keep doing what they're doing, and you get mad and say, oh, that's all they do is think about them. Well, you ain't doing nothing, huh? So why shouldn't we encourage the people that is doing something, you see? So when you do something, then you, you know, the person going to do what? Encourage you to keep on doing something. But if you're going to sit around and bellyache all the time about what somebody ain't doing, and well, they don't say nothing about me, well, you ain't doing nothing. Do you get the picture? It ain't they leaving you out, but what is you doing? Hmm? You ain't doing nothing. You ain't saying nothing. You ain't showing nothing for that. You know, you a servant of the living God, and they are. If they're doing it, then you say it. That's all. Encourage them because you want them, you know, to be stay encouraged. That's the way I see it. If I'm wrong, y'all can call and say you wrong. 347-857-3925. You can call and say, okay, you're wrong. All right, that's your prerogative. All right? Amen. You everybody's entitled to their opinion. You get that too? Amen. All right, but that's the way I look at it. I want to encourage a person. It ain't so much I'm lifting one above another. It's just the fact that if this person is doing and you not, how am I going to say something about you and you ain't doing nothing? Well, do something so I can say something. That's the way I look at it. Now, I don't know how other pastors feel about it. You know, I'm going to sit up and encourage you and you ain't doing nothing. Huh? Encouraging you to keep not doing nothing? Nah, that don't even sound right. You know it don't. Bless God. Because, listen, God called each one of us. Do you know, God has called you. And we will talk about that today. And we're going to talk about it in the form of Moses. We're going to talk about it in the form of Moses. We're going to talk about what God is doing. And listen, do we all come to the same understanding is that Moses was the leader? He was leadership material from the beginning. Now, the only baby they record that when the Pharaoh was killing everybody and kill all the babies, because he didn't want nobody to be taking his place, you know. And they put Moses in a bulrush, a little boat. I'm gonna call made him a little boat, made him a little canoe, so he can do what? So he can survive, because there was a mark on him for leadership. He was born in leadership, and he had to be what? Trained and prepared for leadership. Now, oftentimes I see something here is oftentimes God don't always tell you where you're going to get your training. Now, he might have been marked for leadership, but God knew where he was going and where he wanted him to go and where he wanted him to be and to be with who. So he put him there, and he allowed the enemy camp. You understand what I'm saying? God put him in that little water ravine or whatever it was, put him in there, sent him on down the stream, but he had somebody watching out, see which way he go and who hands he fell into. Now, when God prepare you for certain things in life, oftentimes you don't know whose hand's going to help. Now, do you? Come on, think about it now. You don't always know whose hand's going to help you. This is something I had purpose. I throw myself in there. Something I had purpose in my life a long time ago, that the things that I missed and didn't have as a helper in my life, I would try to help other people. I try to help people to train their children up to be children of God. I didn't want nobody to come up like I came up. You see what I'm saying? And because it was painful. So I don't want to see anybody else. So I say the church should take an intricate part in the children that's in the church. You see? In the growing them up. Help them grow right. You see? And have a right attitude and what have you. And this should be the purpose. That's why they go to church, isn't it? So somebody could help. Now, you try to help, but parents, they don't want you to tell them what to do with their child. It's my child. And that's why the child end up being, a lot of them children end up being nuts and incompoots and all this kind of stuff. Crazy children. Violent children. Disrespectful children. Because that's the way you raised them. Only look on to me. Only look at me. I'm it. You ain't it because you ain't there where God placed you at. See? Now, I believe in trying to help the children. But now if they don't want no help, the mother don't want no help, the father don't want no help, then you leave them alone. That's their children. That's their children, right? But here Moses was sent down the river here, and then they picked him up, and now she left a sign there of who he was. She put that little shawl in there, wrapped him up in the shawl, and put him in there so that he would always know where he came from. Okay. Now, she prepared, God has already prepared someone, and this woman at this precise time was there, perhaps bathing or whatever she was doing. She seen this little bush come down. Now, she knew what the order was, but did she mind that? No, it didn't bother her in the least. She took that baby in and raised that baby as hers. Now, They say baby out of wedlock, huh? Nobody paid no attention to none of that kind of carrying on. All it was a sweet little baby, and she found and she just raised, she fell in love with the baby and raised that baby up. And then she needs somebody to help give the baby nourishment. So what to do? Get their own mama, not knowing that that was the mama. And you see how good God is. Now, God intended for him, Moses, to do what? To have the best. He had the best milk because he got the milk from his own mama, you see. So I tell you, God is a wonder. Every time you think about how he do things, Lord, have mercy. It just amazes you that he's so real and the way he planned things out. Now, he planned for him to be a leader and to get the best education. He was in Pharaoh's house getting the best education. They didn't look at him and say, you don't look like us. They didn't look at him and say, you weren't the right color. They didn't look at him and say, your hair was different, your nose out of joint, it looked like this or looked like that. They just raised him up as a child of Pharaoh, of the Pharaoh at the time. You see, so he had the best of education, the best of food, best of schooling, the best of clothes, the best of everything. And it tells me that he was a highly knowledgeable person. So God allowed him to be trained in the best place to make him a strong, able-bodied leader. Now, the way you brought up, think about this. Was you brought up to be a leader? Was you brought up to be a leader? What kind of training did you have? Were you prepared to take over? Perhaps you say, well, no, I'm black. It don't matter if you green. You see, God can make you a leader no matter what color you are or what religious affiliation you have. God could raise you up to be a leader and you're to take over some great who know what conglomerate of a business or a church, mega church or whatever the case may be. You could be in the White House, the Green House, or the Red House. You could be in some kind of house, but you could be the leader. You do not have to take down and be underfoot. You don't have to always be the door keeper. You don't have to always be the washroom keeper. You can be the head and not the tail. Do you see? Because think about this. After you get there, what do? Here Moses is in this place and he did get a little way out. When you start reading over, you know, his life, you find out that as he grew and grew strong, and you know what was in him? His heritage was in him to defend the weak. Did you hear what I'm saying? Now, even though he was under all of this tutelage that he's had and all the great word that he had received, it wasn't God, but he was in this house, but yet he knew this, but yet in him was his heritage. Because, see, when his mother fed him, okay, through her milk, his heritage was doing what? Being activated in him on the inside. So it was being activated on the inside. His DNA was there. Do you get the picture? And it was being what? Fed and nourished until when he seen this man getting abused and hurt, he killed that Egyptian that was hurting the person. You see? Because his heritage had the right in him. Not the abuse, not distracting the people that looked like they were going to overtake you and overpower you. That was not in his DNA. Do you get the picture? You hear what I'm saying? So here Moses was getting all this, not knowing, he was not aware of all of that he was getting and being fed. He was not aware of what was in him at the time. You understand? So he had to come to the knowledge of this, huh? And as he ran, when somebody made known, say, are you going to kill me like you did that Egyptian? Huh? Because I didn't do something? See, now, he didn't know nobody had seen him, you see, because he killed him and buried him somewhere. But anyway, the person said, you going to kill me like you did them? Oh, he got scared then, and he ran. He ran. Did you hear me? Now, let's read a little bit about that as he ran here. He ran from all of that. Okay. But, listen, where he went, he was a stranger when he got over into another land. He began a stranger. And you know, I like the way God numbered these things. He put Moses had to do a lot of 40 years. This man had to do a lot of 40 years, and you would say, what would you say? God, it's not fair. This is so long. When am I going to get to where you call me? Well, I have something on the inside that seems to be calling me, but I just don't know what it is as of yet. But look, we can go in the second verse. The Bible says in the second verse, the second chapter, I mean, of the Exodus, he said, the 20th verse, and he said unto his daughters, where is he? They found him at a well, you know. So he was drawing water. He found the daughters found it. And this would happen in the 21st. Say, and Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. Okay, and she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Now, he's out here now, done left all of that rich living he was in. Could you do that? Could you leave what you got to do what God say? Could you? All right now. And it came to pass, 23rd, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage that they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. Now it's time for Moses to put all that he learned into action. Now it's time to do it. Now let's bring it down to you now. Now it's time. You've been saying you called, you called, you called. Huh? You've been telling everybody how God called you. I'm called to preach. I'm called to prophesy. Well, when you going to start prophesying? When you going to start this thing? Huh? You don't have to be in a pulpit to preach. There's lots of corners to preach on. Huh? There's lots of parks to go to. You see? That you can go to the grocery store and preach. You can go to the bank and preach. You can go all over the place to preach. When God calls you to preach and the preacher man is there, you don't look to take over somebody else's pulpit. Get your own. Huh? Your pulpit could be at the corner liquor store or at the bar. It could be at the strip club. You can stand outside the strip club and preach. I knew somebody would stand outside the porno shop, and every time people go in there to buy all the movies and the books and stuff, they'd stand out there and preach to them. The people stop going to the store, because every time they come out there, there was somebody out there preaching to them the gospel. See, that's a preacher. That's somebody God called. Do you get the picture here? Huh? Moses here now, he's got to go now. The things has done turned on him, and now he got a different life. Now he got children. Huh? He done went over in a strange land, he done got him some children. Okay, but now, do you think that stopped the call? It's not stopping the call that he had, because he has been prepared to be a leader of a multitude of people. And so when God heard the groaning of the children, Israel, that he left behind them 40 years ago, God heard their groaning, and he said, now, can you see God saying, I done already prepared me, Moses. He is the deliverer. I done prepared him already. Now it's time for me to call him. See, you get prepared, God prepare you through circumstances in your life, and now you are called. Okay, he called. So what he said, God heard the groaning. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See, he was the God of the living, not the dead. And God looked on the children, and God had respect unto them. Now is time. And now, and when you get into the third verse, is what I want you to notice here today. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock of the backside of the desert and came to the mountains of God, even to Herod. He's always leading something. See, a leader is always leading something. He might have not been in the church leading the church congregation, but he was still a leader. And Jethro saw that he was a leader. He had leadership ability. See, your pastor see the leadership in you. The thing is, you got to go through this process, due process of time. You have to go through, okay? And then this is what he said. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now let's talk about that. That's what I like to talk about, the bush, Is there a fire started in you? You know what? The bush was just a type of the anointing. See? That the anointing is like a fire. You know, Jeremiah put it like this. It's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. Something is burning. I know there are young people out here today that fire is burning, and they are being prepared. They're being prepared to, walk in a call, and they don't like the other fire. You know, we're in trouble. Challenges of all sorts, things come up in their life. Nothing is going the way they thought it would. Where they thought it would. So these things are happening. Do you get the picture? So while these things are happening, all it is God preparing you for what you got to face, what you got to go through. That anointing is flaring up in you like the burning bush that Moses had to encounter. Do you get the picture? And it comes in there, glory be to God, to do what? It's going to consume all this stuff that's in you to purify you. See? Now, Moses was attracted to that bush. You're attracted to the anointing. The anointing is doing something in your life right about now, But as he was attracted to the bush, and he became that bush on fire for the Lord, this is what God is doing for you. You're going to be that bush on fire, It's going to be that fire shut up in your bones. This is what it's going to be. Now, listen, the bush been there all the time. Now, it wouldn't just appeared there. It been there while he was in the wilderness doing nothing. It was there. But until the anointing comes, that's the power of God, and come upon you and fill you, you can't do nothing. Do you see what I'm saying? You ain't going to be able to do nothing. Oh, you say, but you just don't know. That word is on the inside. I got the word. Yes, it's easy to remember the word because you have that type of brain cells operating in your head that helps you remember that you're a very good person that to remember things, remember words, remember whatever. you got that type of ability. Everybody don't have it, so stop trying to make everybody be like you.
Come on.
Huh? Some people can and some people can't. That's just the way God built people. Huh? So, listen, you have that ability, but do you have the anointing? This is what I need to know. This is what I'm trying to get to you. When you can have that ability, but do you have that burning desire on the inside where you are seeking for the anointing? You're seeking for the power of God to be operating in your life that you can't keep still. No, you can't keep still. You can. We have the intellectual people that, you know, want to do everything intellectually. But it's not affecting the person like the burning bush. The burning bush affected Moses, huh? Moses said, now let me turn aside. Let me kind of see what this is here. What's this about here? I see this bush burning and it's, you know, it's not being consumed. So he tried to turn aside to look and see what it was, and maybe he tried to get close to it and tried to touch it and to see what it was made of, or was it a figment of his imagination? He didn't know at the time, because it's a phenomenal thing that happened in his life, and all it is to bring him closer to God and to hear the voice of God, that the anointing may be more powerful in his life than ever before, and the call may be prevalent in his life, that they may be able to say beyond the shadow of doubt that I've been called by the voice of God. Huh? And it's not my imagination, but I've been called by the voice of God. See, because when he came up to it and he God spoke to him and called him by name. Did he call you by name? Are you called of God today? Hmm? Or you just went because somebody told you to go? Oh, honey, you sound like you ought to preach. They didn't say God called you to preach. They say you sound like you called to preach. And they say, who called you? They could have called you. Mama could have called you. Uncle Joe could have called you. See? Everybody could have called you because you have that type of voice. I don't have the type of voice nobody say that somebody called me, or I called me, or God called me. I don't have that kind of voice. Hmm? But I know that it's of God because God called me. I know, and that's all that matters. You don't have to. See, I have to be very sure. You got to be very sure God called you. When he said in the fourth verse, Moses, and Moses said, here am I. Moses answered. Can you answer the call? Hmm? You see this bush burning, and God called you out that bush because you're so curious. It ain't none so much of that. You're just curious. And you know what I imagine? There wasn't no heat coming from it. Do you see what I'm saying? There was no heat coming from it, so he began to go closer to it and see that it looks like fire and it's not being consumed. Do you see what I'm saying? You think it looks like the Holy Ghost that's calling you. Because you used to seeing people, how they react and how they act to the Holy Ghost, so it looks like it, so I'm going to it. Huh? Come on now, talk to me now. See what I'm saying? It looks like it. We don't want what looks like. We want the real thing. Huh? So as he approached it, God made himself known to him. So now you can be identified with the fact that God called me. Moses can identify with it now. God called me. I heard him when he called my name. And when he called my name, I answered. But see, he didn't look for these exact instructions at the time when he said, draw not nigh hither. That's what God told him. Put off the shoes from off your feet. Place you stand in his holy ground. Don't come no closer. Huh? Don't come no closer. Now, you know, Moses is curious. He was a well-educated man. He well-educated. Do you get the picture? Mm-hmm. So now, he's so educated, he knows there's got to be more to this than what I'm looking at. You know how you do. Got to be more than this here. What I know. And I, you've said it many times. There's more to it than me speaking in tongues, ha ta ta ta, and all that stuff. It's more to the Lord than that. Hmm? But you need it. Don't get me wrong. You need it. Hmm? So he said, draw not nigh, put your shoes off. Now, Moses got to take his shoes off. Now you got to do something else. You done come this far. You done spent 40 years here and 40 years there. Now you got another 40 years to go. Huh? Moses did a whole lot of 40 years. And God worked for him after 40 years. Sometimes I wonder about the things like that. I say, man, God. He was working with me in 4 years groups, not 40, but four. Still the number four was involved, okay? Every 4 years, I got to move somewhere, you know. And I start paying attention. See, the thing is, we don't often pay attention when God calls us because we think it ain't God. And then somebody will say, some agnostic will say, honey, that ain't God. She be saying God called and God told her, but that ain't God. How you know? You don't know the God that talks to me. Do you know your God? Huh? I had to come to realize that that's who was doing it because, hey, I didn't want to believe it myself. Did you think Moses want to believe him? He stand up here looking at this bush burning, supposed to be burning, and ain't still standing? Think about the light of God. Hmm? It was no more than the iridescent light of Jesus Christ. See? Standing right there before him, showing him the glory of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Think of that burning bush being the glory, showing you the glory. You actually see the glory of God. What is to come after it? Hmm? Because it's so bright till it shines like a flame, looks like a flame of fire. Hmm? Oh, my God, we can go on the fire because there's a lot to deal with the fire, but we ain't going there today. But he took off his shoes. So what God is calling you today, you, and you, instead of you sitting around, you ain't noticing nothing. You don't know God doing nothing. And God keep trying to call you, keep trying to put you in a position, and you keep trying to do it your way and go the way you want to. You asking for trouble. Now, he got your bush burning. It's burning. But do you see the fire? Can you see the fire? You don't see the fire, huh? Lord, have mercy. It's time for us to see the fire. You see what I'm saying? Stop sitting around doing nothing and start doing something. Let the people of God and also the people of the world see that you are a blood-bought soldier. You have been through the process. You have paid the price. And I don't mean our little mental prices we call ourselves praying, the stuff we build up on our own in our own minds. Because sometimes we can build things up in our own minds that never happen. You hear that? See, we do that. But when it comes down to it, if you have your Moses experience, Moses, after he went back to Egypt and went through all that trouble, trouble just was there for him. See, leaders go through lots of trouble. Do you know? And everybody holler about they want to be the pastor, want to be a bishop, want to be a pastor. Why y'all want to be all this stuff? Because there ain't nothing but trouble going to follow you. And you hollering about too much trouble now. You complaining and love them going through so much. You're just complaining. Huh? But you want to be the big time. Huh? Well, let me tell you, every head executive, top executive, CEO has problems. The bigger the ministry, the bigger the corporation, the more problems. Some are devastating problems. Some are problems some of them don't ever get over. Huh? and you want to be pastor, prophet, preacher, teacher, and all these great titles. You want to have apostle, Doolittle, and bishop, five-by, and all kind of things. You want to be all these people, and yet you don't want to go through nothing. Well, I'm sorry. You don't want to be that. You just want to wear a name because you don't want to have no problems. Well, there are going to be some troubles. There are going to be some problems because everything that God brings to you is tried by fire. Did you hear me? Huh? Moses had trials by fire. Huh? In the wilderness. Look at all them crazy people he had. Boy, them people would have, all your hair should have fell out. Your teeth too. Because those people would have worried you and aggravate you to death. That many people? And God gave you the leadership over these people? Huh? And you know them little 10 or 15 you got in church about the way you are. What you going to do with a mega church? What you going to do with millions of people, thousands of people? What are you going to do with them? Huh? Huh? You wouldn't be able to stand. You, Lord have mercy. You no telling what you ought to start drinking. All over again, smoking reefers or something, whatever it is that makes you feel good. Huh? You will start doing that because it will be so aggravating so many people. Now you want to know, well, the preacher drink a little wine. Now you see why he drink a little wine. You're driving him crazy. Huh? Real wine. Praise God. My God, see, Moses had a, he had some people with him, and they was not, those people were some hard-headed people. Those people that had been in Egypt so long, they had done took on the Egyptian spirits. And when they got out there in the wilderness, Lord God took them on there all them years, 40 years in the wilderness, you know why, trying to get that Egyptian spirit out of them, he had to kill them all. Only those under 20, 20 and under was left. Huh? Because they carried the enemy spirit with them instead of leaving it there, which they really didn't know how to leave it there. And they wouldn't listen to Moses and Aaron. They wouldn't listen to them. They wasn't listening. Are you listening to your leader today? Are you going to be hard-headed like them and God got to get rid of you too and take your youngins? You want that to happen to you because you want to be a leader? You want to be a Moses? You don't want Moses' problems? You don't want them leaders' problems? You don't want the leaders of today problems either. See? Because they got some heavy problems. They don't have to tell you about them. They don't tell you about their problems. But they have some because they got a great burden on them. You know, God can help them through or pick out. God will have to pick out. And then you pick out some people like Jethro told Moses to do. What he told him to do? Pick out some men there that's able-bodied men to help you carry this burden. Because you can't carry all this alone. You're going to wear yourself out. Huh? And then you're going to pick out somebody because they got money. You're going to pick out somebody because, oh, they look like so-and-so and so. Them ones that look like ain't going to be the ones. They the ones going to carry you down. You see? Try to get those that are of God. Do you get the picture? Able-bodied men that God would tell you to pick out. Do you get the picture? See what I'm talking about? See, I found out pastors pick people out for positions, and it's, they either in their family or they just, you know, put a lot of money in the church. So what you doing, buying your position? You don't buy a position where I am. I have to see that God wants you in this position. I ain't just going to put you in the position just to be putting you in there. I don't care if you're related to me. That don't mean that position is good for you. See what I'm saying? Y'all don't get it. Praise God. But let me tell you, listen here. There's a burning bush for you. Notice it. Pay attention. Huh? Pay attention. Huh? It may not, you don't have to be consumed with what's going on in the world. Huh? Your flame can burn eternally. You know when they put on the graves of the soldiers and everything, huh? Eternal flame.
Yeah.
Well, God got an eternal flame for you, and that light is still burning. Walk in the light. Be the light. Talk the light. All right. Yes, I see here we got Deacon Mike in here. Okay, praise God. Y'all, let's say something for Deacon Mike.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We like to thank Apostle for that word. And you know it's so true that if you're a leader and the problems that come along with it, you know, a lot of people who are in management positions, they are considered leaders of their prospective positions of where they're at. But do you understand that? Think about the problems that they have to go through also. So why should people run around being jealous of the leaders? People have envy of the leaders and jealous of a leader. But why? Because of the position they're in? People don't need to be jealous and envy of a leader because you don't want those problems. Because there is problems that come along with being a leader wherever you're at. Wherever you stand at, there's always something going on. See, when God make you a leader, you're going to have trials and tribulations coming at you also. You're going to have more than the average person has because you got to be able to take it. You got to be able to stand tall, stand firm, you know, so therefore you can help somebody else. See, that's what it's all about. You know, but what's the old saying? What don't kill you will hurt. What don't kill you will make you better. You know it, and if you think about it, it did. Look where you're at today. Look at where you stand today. From past, because we all went through something. God brought us out of something. So think about when we're standing up for God and we're trekking on that holy ground. See when Moses took his shoes off, he knew he was on holy ground. So why can't we take our shoes off on holy ground? The proverbial take your shoes off, what I mean is respect the holy ground, respect the house of the Lord. And that's what it's all about. See, the problem is people don't respect the house of the Lord anymore. They don't even respect the leaders. So I guess they don't respect Jesus either. A lot of people who want to run the church from the back door. You can't do that. You got to be at the forefront. You can't be in the back murmuring stuff, talking about people and all this here, and then all of a sudden you expect to be a leader. And what you say to yourself, I know a lot of people that say to themselves is, oh, I can do a better job than they do. Mm-hmm. That's what people say. You know, they human, but that's what the people say. But that's what the devil's putting in their head. I think I said this by yesterday. You know, when the unclean spirits come and all of a sudden you give it ground to come into you, one of those demons can come into you. One of those spirits, because remember, it was 2,000 spirits. One can always land in you. It's way more than that if you want to think about it, but one can always land in you if you're not careful. But as Apostle said, she talked about that burning bush. That burning bush was a symbol. It was a symbol of the eternal fire of God. It was a symbol that God is there and the Holy Spirit that's within you will burn forever. But you got to keep on doing the right thing. You got to have that tunnel vision, tuned to stay in line with God. You got to be able to accept what God has given you to do. I think I heard a while back, you got to be able to accept the charge that God has given you. It don't matter what it is. It can be cleaning the bathroom. It can be sweeping the church out. It don't matter. That's a charge that God has you do. And as apostles say, that's due process. All of us have to go through due process. When you're growing up, you're going through due process. Don't forget, you got to crawl before you walk. Don't for drink. Don't forget, you drink baby milk before you drink the real thing. Before you get real food, you got baby food, which a lot of us are babies in Christ, so we got to be fed mush. We got to be fed baby food with slow steps so us can grow. And as you grow, the more you eat. The more you eat, the stronger you be. You become. See, this is what we got to do. This is how, as Christians, we come up. Let's build ourselves up slowly. Let's build ourselves up the right way. Let's try not to jump and think that we can do it. We can do what we can't do. Because something in our head say we can do the job better. No, you can't. Because God put that person in place, not you, not man. God did it. The Holy Spirit did it. Because that shepherd is there for you. So we got to understand, where do we stand? Where do you stand in the Lord today? Are you like Moses? Are you going to look at that burning bush and say, it's in me, Lord, I got you? You got to understand that metaphor of that burning bush and what it represented. Now how do the Lord represent you? How do you represent the Lord? How do you understand what the fire that's within you? Because all of us have a little flame in us, but to be brought out is the key. To be cultivated in you is the key. Because a lot of people just jump out there willy-nilly. They ain't got nothing to do or what to say. They just jump out there willy-nilly and unprepared. They're always unprepared. So let's not be unprepared. Let's be able to do these things. Let's be able to understand, where are we in the Word of God? Where are we in the life of the Holy Spirit? But the Holy Spirit is within us. We have to keep the Holy Spirit within us and keep that flame burning. You can't let it go out and dim and get the devil flame to put your flame out. Let's not do that. Let's continue to have the flame that's within us. And here's Sister Diane.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you, we thank God for Apostle being here today. We thank you all for your prayers. Because, you know, we serve an awesome, awesome God, and we just thank God for the word that came forth from her, as well as Deacon Michael. I tell you, let us stand in strong leadership today, and let that burning bush, that Holy Ghost fire, the one that shot up in Jeremiah, feel like fire shot up in my bones, let the Holy Ghost rain and burn inside of you. I tell you, we go through situations, we go through, you know, things in our life to bring us to the place where God wants us to be. And Moses had to go through, and he had to go through, and he had to go through to come to where God wanted him to be. Do we have that understanding? Do we have that patience to stand and wait for God to do what he said he's going to do? Because he said his word shall not return to him void. So let's answer the call. You know, after we've been on that potter's wheel, let's answer the call. So you tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That call-in number is 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. You can also tune into blogtalkradio.com/ Time to Talk About It and listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter has put out there. Every Friday night at 11 p.m., that's tomorrow night at 11 p.m., we have the Wailing Walls Prayer Line hosted by our very own Elder Whitted. That call-in number is 218-548-6746, code 3333 pound. That's 218-548-6746, code 3333 pound. And as you heard earlier, Apostle Porter prayed for Elder Whitted. She prays for everyone, intercede, So now we need your prayers for you to also intercede for her right now. Every Monday at 3 p.m., we have Deacon Michael, what I'm just saying. That call-in number is 917-889-2211. That's 917-889-2211. That's every Monday at 3 p.m. Till then, you be blessed and tune tomorrow to the Wailing Wall's prayer line at 11 p.m. Be blessed.
Let go.
Let go.
He's the only one with the answer.
Let go.
Yeah, let God.